الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل من حرم زينة الله التي أخرج لعباده والطيبات من الرزق، قل هي للذي آمنوا في الحياة الدنيا خالصة يوم القيامة كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يعلمون. وقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، إنا جعلنا ما على الأرض زينة لها لنبلوهم أيهم أحسن عملا. الحمد لله. First and foremost, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity for gathering here today. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that the truest words ever uttered are kullu shayin ma siwallahi batil, that everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is false. Now, Islamic doctrine, our aqidah, informs us as Muslims as the fundamental premise that everything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is false. In other words, you and I and everything around us does not of itself exist. We exist solely by the will and intent of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us to be. And this divine intent is more than adequate a reason for the creation of all being, the fact that Allah wills and He is wise. The existence of the world is therefore a type of shadow existence, and by that what I mean is that insofar as a shadow cannot exist without the object being the intrinsic reality, the shadow being no more than an extension of it. Similarly, our world in essence is unreal, and what imparts to it this shadow existence, this semblance of reality, what elevates it from absolute nothingness and gives it a permanence and a stability is the reflection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's being, His existence, His sifat, His attributes on it. In other words, Allah's decree that it be kun fayakun. When Allah intends that a thing be, He merely declares be and it becomes. So creation is a spectacular expression of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine attributes, of His sifat, of His will, and also His attributes. Creation has often been described as the veritable artwork of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because through His creation, Allah manifests Himself, He expresses Himself. He is the artist, and creation is His glorious artwork. Creation, therefore, exists as a direct consequence of Allah's attributes, of His sifat, and also of His intent, His irada, to manifest them, to express them. Allah declares in a hadith Qudsi, by way of allegory, that I was like kanzan makhfi, like a hidden treasure. And thus I created creation that this treasure be known. In other words, that it be revealed in its splendor, and that it be known and appreciated and celebrated. In fact, the very first verse of the Holy Quran alludes to this mystery, because out of all the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the Asma'ul Husna, and all Allah's attributes of perfection, there are only two that have been mentioned in this introductory verse. The very first verse, namely, stating Allah's mercy and His compassion, Rahman and Rahim. Now both of these words in Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim have been derived from the root Rahma, mercy. And what it points to is the fact that creation, or the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the sustenance of all the worlds, has no other motivation other than expressing or manifesting Allah's attribute of mercy, His compassion, His generosity, His selfless love. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had no need of these creatures, nor could anyone compel Allah to create them. It is really Allah's very own mercy, His generosity, His love, which has determined the creation and the sustenance of the entire universal order. Now, this was very beautifully put by the great mystic poet Allama Rumi. He declared, "There was nothing, neither our being nor our claim to be. It was your mercy, O Allah, that heard our unsaid." I'll repeat that. Allama Rumi said that there was nothing, neither our being nor our claim to be. It was your mercy, O Allah, that heard our unsaid. So at this point, what we can say by way of describing this essential introductory concept is that Allah is the artist. Creation is the artwork of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is like the grand sculptor, and creation is His wondrous perfect sculpture. It's a wonderful declaration of His perfection of being. The question though that arises at this juncture is that since the purpose of Allah, namely that of divine manifestation, of expressing His qualities, since this has been accomplished through the creation of all the multiple worlds and states of being, what then was the need of creating the human being specifically? Now, as we've explained, Allah is the grand sculptor. Creation is His wondrous perfect sculpture. It's a wondrous declaration of His perfection of being. The human being though, insan, mankind, has been distinguished from creation by being not only the most wondrous of all creation, of all creatures, but the human being has been imbued with perception and also with freedom. And the human being is then expected to employ these faculties of perception and freedom to search for and to understand the divine pattern in nature and in himself, and then come to recognize the absolute perfection of being of Allah. Now, attainment by the human being to cognizance of the divine, to understanding and awareness of Allah, this discovery, this state of understanding and awareness represents then the most profound declaration of Allah's absolute perfection of being. Now, this may be a little abstruse and a little difficult to initially understand. There's an easy way to understand what I've just said now, and that is in the example of the sculptor and his sculptures. We'll use that as a point of reference. Now, everyone here has probably heard of Michelangelo. He was a great sculptor who lived in Italy during the time of the Enlightenment, Reformation in Europe. Now, if Michelangelo, for example, were to sculpt the most beautiful sculptures and then were to stand back and declare, "I am the most accomplished sculptor," it would be perfectly in order. And his declaration to that effect, "I am the most accomplished sculptor," that declaration would be true insofar as the perfection of his artwork, of his sculptures, would be an open testimony to the truth of his claim. However, how would it be if Michelangelo was able to create such a sculpture, having the capacity to perceive and comprehend, and then this sculpture, having been fashioned in this perfect way, were then to gaze at its wondrous construction and the perfection with which even the sculptures around it were created, and then independently, by no duress, there's no compulsion whatsoever, if this sculpture were to declare that, "Indeed, Michelangelo, you are the best sculptor," this independent declaration by the sculpture of the accomplishments of its sculptor, of Michelangelo, this would be a greater testimony to the consummate talents of the sculptor, of Michelangelo. Now, this is not the best example, but it brings within the horizons of our understanding Allah's intent somewhat of creating the human being. The human being, insan, similarly, his recognition of the absolute perfection of being of Allah, this ma'rifah, represents the most profound declaration of Allah's absolute perfection of being. It stands beyond Allah simply creating and manifesting, but rather there is a creature now that apprehends and perceives and admires and appreciates the wondrous perfection of the Creator, the Author of all being. So the human being now, having recognized Allah in His perfection of being, now stands in awe and admiration of the majesty of Allah, the one and only. And consequently, he bows in submission and love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The human being's every deed and every word now becomes an expression of this loving submission. Now this is in effect ibadah. This is worship. Worship is no more than a physical expression confirming a very accurate spiritual understanding. This is what is meant when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I have created humanity only for my ibadah, for my worship. Worship is the physical expression of this ma'rifah, this accurate spiritual awareness and understanding of Allah's perfection of being. From another dimension, we find that it is only through the human being that some very specific divine qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become consummately manifest. For example, by creating the angels, the malaika, Allah has manifested His power, because the fullness of their power indicates the perfection of the might of their Creator. Obviously, the angels being phenomenally powerful creatures. The creation of insan, of the human being, on the other hand, indicates the perfection of generosity and mercy of Allah. As regards the perfection of Allah's generosity, this is because there is no relationship between dust, which is what insan is created of, clay, sand. There is no relationship between this dust, this sand, and the grace of the Lord of the worlds. Allah, by His complete mercy and perfect generosity, has made this dust the bearer of divine illumination, of eternal virtue. نَفَخَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِهِ, Allah breathed into this dust, this clay, this insan, of His attributes, of His divine attributes. And so we all possess, in a relative way, of this virtue that is imbued in us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the perfection of Allah's mercy, this is a fact, since it is only through the sin that is committed by insan, by the human being, sin that justly deserves retribution, that deserves punishment, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy and His compassion become manifest, they become expressed through the sin committed by the human being. There's a hadith that says that لو لم تذنبوا, that had you, O insan, not committed sin, لَذَهَبَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِكُمْ, Allah would have removed you from the scheme of creation. وَلَجَاءَ بِقَوْمٍ يُذْنِبُونَ, and brought in your stead such a creation that would commit sin. فَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهُ, and then this creature would turn in repentance. فَيُغْفِرَ لَهُمْ, and that Allah would generously forgive them. Now this is not to pronounce on the gravity or otherwise of sin, but merely to emphasize the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because, as a poet says, by the sin of the sinner does the mercy of the most merciful become manifest. Now, Allah is able to compel anyone He wills to do anything He wishes. There is, however, love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for humanity, for insan, which can only be realized by those who willingly and lovingly worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not out of compulsion, but out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of love for Him. Now this is the meaning of freedom of choice. Allah does not need a hollow form of submission. He wants the human being to come to Him with the heart of a lover, because belief is really a test of love for Allah in the heart. Iman is this test. The greater your love for Him, the greater your belief in His way, the greater your iman. But if your love for Allah is weak, then you will go very far from His way. And from yet another perspective, we can also come to comprehend in love, and this dynamic that we as human beings easily understand and can relate to in the context of love, the gravity of shirk, of polytheism. There's a verse in the Quran where Allah says that إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ, that Allah will never forgive the crime of associating partners with Him. In other words, worshipping others as equals with Him. But Allah will indeed forgive any other sin as He so pleases. Now this is so because true love accepts no partners. We know that by our own human experience. And the infidelity of the mushrik, of the pagan, that person who worships others along with Allah or instead of Allah, is tantamount to the enormity of the infidelity that is never tolerated by jealous lovers. Treachery of the heart is never forgiven. True love accepts no partners. To get back to our topic, every beautiful object is a mirror image or a reflection of Allah's beauty, of divine beauty, as we mentioned earlier, that Allah creates creation as a manifestation of His attributes. And so human being, at least human creation, and even the human being is imbued with beauty. From the majesty of the largest constellations and galaxies to the delicate subtlety of the smallest petal of the smallest flower, we find all of this being pervaded by the principle of beauty. Anything that incites appreciation, anything that elicits love and astonishment, is actually a reflection of divine beauty. And our hearts are filled with these reflections of the everlasting. And for that reason, we always consider ourselves absorbed in beauty. We are innately attracted to beauty. And through this perspective, we conceive of even seemingly sad things like death and decay as being the essence of the most amazing harmonies. Because in the beauty of the universe, we find a harmony and a balance. And even in death and decay, we see a harmony and a balance. And this feeling and this awareness has us surrounded by this infinite beauty that as human beings we can easily identify with, we can easily perceive and easily appreciate. Now this is the way that we should perceive beauty. We see it only as a tool to interpret the real meaning of existence. Creation being a manifestation of Allah's sifat, His attributes. And Allah is Jameel, He is beautiful, Yuhibbul Jamal, He loves beauty. In this enormous arena of beauty that we call creation, everything can be seen as a point referring to the Creator, to Allah. Everything is min ayatihi, amongst His signs, the milestones, the symbols pointing back at Him. If with pure intentions and the right perspective we can perceive existence as a mirror reflecting the beauty of the beautiful, we can experience spiritual joy. And that is why it is only in nature that we find true spirituality. Now, all human beings display themselves. They display their feelings. They display their abilities in their works. We, as insan, are sent to this world with the responsibility then to affect and reshape things with Allah's permission, to reflect our understanding, but also to be attentive to the true purpose and the meaning of the creation of things. The universe is like a magnificent exhibition of divine art. And human beings are given the opportunity of being Allah's co-artists. This is what is meant when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declares to the angels that Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Indeed, I am to create a deputy on earth, one who will do my bidding on my behalf, one who will join with me in my artistry. And this brings us to the subject of art. Art is really, in essence, the spirit of progress and one of the most important means of nurturing our soul, our ruh. Therefore, those who cannot make use of this means of art, from an Islamic perspective, are actually quite unfortunate. Those who cannot use art as a way of participating in divine intent and of nurturing their own ruh, they in effect lived a numbed and a diminished life. And unfortunately, this is where we stand today as Muslims. Had it not been for art, we would have seen no beauty in the realm of existence, where insan is allowed to act. Remember, what distinguishes the human being is not just freedom, is not just intelligence and the capacity to perceive and appreciate, but also insan has been imbued with an aesthetic faculty. We have the capacity to perceive and know and appreciate art, to assimilate it and also to reflect it in our own work. It is art which manifests and defines the power and the deepest potentials of the human soul, of the ruh. It is by means of art that the most profound emotions and the most penetrating thoughts, the most striking observations and discoveries, the most heartfelt desires have been preserved as if recorded on a tape and as a consequence gained eternity. And it is in Islamic art and in Islamic architecture that we find the culmination of this spirit and purpose of art. Even today, we look at the artwork of the masters in Islamic heritage, in Islamic arts and architecture, communicating to us a message of profound illumination of inspired souls. We find through their artwork, true knowledge is manifest. True knowledge shows itself through art. If a person has never produced anything in the name of art, how can we really say that that person knows much? The vitality of a person's natural capabilities is closely related to the artistic spirit. The person that is devoid of the spirit of art can be regarded, in fact, as little different from a corpse. It's simply because art is what makes iron more valuable than silver. It makes copper more valuable than gold. And thanks to art, the most worthless metals become more valuable than gold and silver and diamonds. And the same can actually be said of human beings. It is art that refines us. It is art that defines us. It is art that elevates us. And it is through art that Muslims expressed the culmination and the essence of their spiritual accomplishments. There's another dimension of art, and that is poetry. Poetry is actually the verbal expression through and on the tongues of human beings of the universe's hidden beauty and the symmetry in the universe. In the symmetry of poetic expression, we find the human being manifest the symmetry that he perceives in nature. The poet's heart becomes an ink pot, a poet has described, whose ink is the breath of the Holy Spirit of Jibra'il alayhi salam. In other words, the ink is inspiration from the heavens. Poetry is born and takes shape according to the belief, the culture, the mode of thought that affects the poet's worldview and his sensitivities. And like every branch of art, poetry that has no connection with the infinite, with the divine, with the intent of the divine, is really barren and dim. The poetry of this modern era is actually a good example of a poetry that is barren, that has no depth, that has no significance or relevance, that has no purpose. But the poetry of classical times, particularly Islamic poetry, the poetry of Rumi, for example, is exactly what is meant by poetry being an expression of the hidden beauty of the universe. Now, arts are eternal gifts. These are gifts of blessed souls to humanity. And in the writings of the great Sufiya and the great ulama of the past, the great poets, we find the distinct feature of higher civilization being manifest. And really, Islamic civilization is, by any standard or measure of civilization, is the most consummate expression of the higher potentialities of the human being. Civilization doesn't mean being rich and powerful. It doesn't mean satisfying carnal desires, leading a luxurious, dissipated life. And that essentially is how we understand civilization in this modern time. Civilization is far from what we have measured it by, the tools that we use. The only thing that distinguishes the primitive man and the modern man is that the primitive man uses a sickle to harvest his grain. The modern man uses a combined harvester. That doesn't mean that the modern man is any more civilized than the primitive man. The tools we use don't distinguish civilization from barbarity. Rather, it is principles and values, worldview. It is the degree to which we attain to cognizance of the divine. What it really means to be civilized is being loving. It means being civil. It means being courteous, being kind-hearted, profound in thought. It means being respectful to others. Savage people are usually cruel. They're oppressive, bloodthirsty. They usually live by plundering, raping, pillaging, destroying. The question, though, that can be asked is, what about those so-called civilized savages today, equipped with modern weaponry that do exactly the same, who are always eager to shed blood for a very small gain? So civilization is not measured by the tools we use, but rather by the values that we espouse. Communities based on the joining of faith, of iman, of religion, of deen, and the joining of science, in other words, observation, recognition, understanding, intelligence, perception, morality, ethics. Those communities that have joined and fused these have always established true civilization. For this reason, Western civilization remains paralyzed. As I mentioned, civilization means more than just scientific advancement. It's more than just modern means of transportation, ships, and, you know, living in large cities and skyscrapers. Now, these things may be adjuncts to civilization, but it's stupidity, it's actually foolishness and ignorance to identify civilization with these very superficial, you know, conveniences or pastimes. If a given civilization is not based on faith, on spiritual awareness, on morality, on virtue, and if a civilization is not nurtured in the pool of intelligence and conscience, it is no more than a passing amusement. It serves the wealthy and the powerful. It excites some thrill seekers, and that's all it is. That's all that you could say of that so-called civilization. It is an amusement. There's also a vital link between the cohesion and the strength of a community's direction, which forms the backbone of civilization, and the authenticity of its cultural resources. And this brings us to the subject of culture. Culture is a stable mix of the fundamental elements of belief, for example, language, of knowledge, of education, of tradition, of art, of poetry. Now, all of these form a community structure and a community's lifestyle. They reflect the people to whom they belong. A community that is broken with its essential cultural values inevitably loses its identity and collapses as a distinct society. And this is essentially what has happened to the modern Muslim world. It has lost its culture. A distinctive culture evolves in the crucible, firstly, of true religion, of deen, of high morality, of akhlaq, of virtues, of well-digested knowledge, of ilm, hikmah, wisdom, where religion and morality are opposed and in fact rejected, and ignorance is widespread, a high culture simply cannot be formed. And this is essentially why the modern Muslim has not been able to develop a refined culture. There is ignorance. There is very little morality. There is no true religion. People who seek their own continuance, their own survival, by blindly accepting the culture and the civilization of others, as unfortunately again the modern Muslim is doing, imitating the Western way. These types of people are like trees upon whose branches are hung the fruits of other trees. They deceive not only themselves, but they also lay themselves open to ridicule. Again, the modern Muslim is the best example of those whose branches bear the fruits of other trees. We are ridiculous as we stand. We have not communicated our own values and our faith. We have not been true to our own religion, to our own culture and heritage. We have become very farcical caricatures of the superficial, modern, secular, atheistic, godless civilization. We are trees upon whose branches are hung the fruits of another people. We are ridiculous. A community that has failed to produce a distinctive culture, or a community that has lost or forsaken their culture, like we have, may be likened to a barren tree or to one whose fruit has dropped off. Today or tomorrow, that tree will be cut down. That tree will be used as wood, as firewood. And this is why our world, the Muslim world, is in flames. Now, only those who overflow with love, whose love comes as a consequence of a recognition of divine love, only such people will build the happy and the enlightened world of the future. It is only people who have recognized Allah's intent in creation. It is only those who participate in Allah's wondrous artwork. It is only those who are inspired by love and compassion and generosity and all the attributes that Allah nafakha fi min ruhihi has breathed into their spirit. It is only these people whose lips are smiling with love, whose hearts are brimming with love, whose eyes radiate love and the most tender human feelings as imbued in their hearts by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is only these people that are the heroes of love. It is only these people who will always receive messages of love from the rising and the setting of the sun, from the flickering light of the stars, from the blossoming of the rose. It is high time that we as Muslims begin to blossom and begin to celebrate the beauty that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us through this beautiful religion, this faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us better understanding and wisdom, and most importantly, the tawfiq, the capacity to fulfill our duty as His bondsman. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.